They also lived, and this is very interesting because it brings up a point we talked about before, they lived off about half a dozen staple grasses. How do we know this? Because of an ingenious technique called flotation, where you take samples of a deposit from an archaeological site and you run them through water and fine screens. And the earth falls to the bottom, but the fine screen, and I mean very fine, catches the seeds, which are virtually invisible in the deposits. And a botanist called Gordon Hillman, when they dug Abu Huraira, collected pints, and I mean pints, of wild grass seeds from these deposits. Think how many seeds there are in a pint. It's a lot. And from this, he literally could reconstruct the changing food patterns and the surrounding environment. And he found that the Abu Huraira people ate staply about a dozen plant grasses. But they knew of at least 200 other plants, which they used for food, for medical purposes, and for ritual practices. And intimate knowledge of their environment. To a considerable extent, the Abu Huraira people and the Tufians were managing and tending their environment way before they domesticated plants. Remember last time when we were talking about hunter-gatherers, we talked about this notion of a cushion. They had a cushion, and it worked. But what happens if you manage your environment and you begin to get short of wild grasses, of the staples? Very logical thing to do. You know that plants germinate. Plant some grass seed and amplify the wild stands by expanding them and watering them. And that is apparently what they did. And that's how agriculture began. But directly they started experimenting with the planting of wild seeds, the harvesters imposed entirely new selective pressures on cultivated stands of wild grasses. They began by cultivating wild wheat and barley, which grew in dense stands in a wild state in many areas of Southwest Asia. And please do not think, ladies and gentlemen, that this began only in one place. It began in a lot of places because it was an entirely logical strategy. Today, few people harvest wild grain. And it's a pity because they have some rather unusual qualities. The brittle hinge that joins the seed and the stalk is so brittle in wild grass that you can literally tap the stalk and the grass will fall off into the basket. If, and it's a big if, you were there at the right moment to harvest it, which is a window of several days, and then you're competing with birds, rodents, and other animals. Or you simply cut the stalks with a flint-bladed sickle, or even uproot them and just take them away. But once you start deliberately cultivating it, selection for a tougher rachis, this hinge, it's called a rachis, began the moment people started harvesting grasses with flint-bladed sickles or uprooting entire plants. You just didn't shake the plants and go by. You did it deliberately. And you started doing this not only with your grown stuff, but with the wild. And the selective process started. And Hillman, among others, has run computer simulations which suggest that the changeover took place with remarkable speed, maybe in as quick as a century. And within a century, the hinge was so tough that you had to harvest the grain with sickles. The process of harvesting wasn't just shaking and competing with animals. It was humans doing it. We had intervened. The changeover is so rapid, he thinks, that one archaeological level may well contain wild seeds, and the next one, a few inches or centimeters above, contains domesticated grasses. Once this cultivation began, the changeover 2, cultivation was rapid. Why? Because you created a whole new universe for the wild grasses. That is how they think it began. And because of the very beginning, the wild seeds were the primary diet, and the planted ones were just simply a supplement to increase the food supply, to ensure that stored food was abundant enough.